It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Such a great and beautiful day. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. And we're going to begin reading with the 15th verse and read to the end of the chapter. And very possibly we're going to get into the 18th chapter today. But please, we're just going to read those verses first. Revelation 17, beginning to read with verse 15. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, that's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. What a wonderful opportunity we have to come together and begin the study today. And so please, Revelation chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 15. And he said to me, "The waters which thou sawest were the whore, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." And we're just going to end there. And again, we may very well get into the 18th chapter, but right now we're going to stop at that point. And we're going to begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come together and do this study today. Open your precious word. I just ask that you just look, Father, so intently into the hearts of all that are listening today. And I just hope that inside those hearts, by your penetration with the Holy Spirit, that they will look to you and turn to you and be born again. We don't need people religious. We need people born again. Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. Please, we know that he died on the cross of Calvary to take our sins away. All we need to do is come by faith and trust in him. Believe. So please today that be the case with those that are listening that do not know you as their Savior. And that, Father, they'll begin to walk with you and praise you and honor you with all that they do. So please, dear Lord, just speak to our hearts today. Guide and lead us today. Win those that are lost and grow those that are saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture here, "And he said to me, the waters which thou saw were the whore, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." The woman controls many, controls multitudes of people. The only thing that she desires is the praise of men. Now, as we look at this and we continue to unfold and open, sometimes you're going to hear things that may surprise you and may shock you, but the Word of God is true and powerful. And so I just proclaim it and let the Spirit of God deal with your heart. The woman controls, again, multitudes of people. Her love is gold. She has no care for the souls of men. And we have that today. Preachers, many religions are built around money and wealth, and not about a soul that is lost and dying. Rome has never changed at the heart. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. Rome will have the same heart till she's destroyed. We see here that she sits on her throne. She shows her greatness, showering her riches of the world's confederate bride. She sets herself up to be the bride of the church. It's the apostate church. There is a loyalty shown, but it's not real. And so as we look at this 15th verse, and we see that this is centered at Rome, and we're talking about the whore here, as the scripture tells us. And we can, you know, last couple of times we've been together, why we've backed up to the place of the eighth verse and have read off the eighth verse, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads and the seven mountains are the seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and another and is not yet come. We've been through all these verses very carefully. I hope that you did not miss the study. If you did miss the study, you can go to the website and find it there, because all the studies that we do on the radio in all the different radio stations and programs are there, and also the Sunday message is there as well. So you can go to that study, which would be just the week before this one, and determine, go to it, open it up, and study it, listen to it. Because we continue to speak about this woman and about Rome. And again, the loyalty that is there is not real. Her desire is for gold, for money, for power. Boy, we can sure see that today in the religions of today. She has no current concern, again, for the soul of men. All the time, leading them to destruction. The whore deceives the people as they follow. The beast, he just presents himself as God. The 16th verse here. Again, verse 15 first. And he said to me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. We have in the third verse the woman on the beast. The seventh verse, we have the beast, seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 8, those that were amazed, of course, that's the lost. And 9 and 10, we have the seven heads, which we determined by the word of God is Rome, with her kingdoms. Now, 12, the 10 horns are 10 kings. Verse 14, we find the coming victory. And in verse 15 that we just read, we found that there are millions that follow. Now here in 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. The 10 kings will be under the control of the beast. They will submit. So long as the beast goes along with the woman, Rome, will experience great power and praise. You find this many times when we're dealing with the wicked and the ungodly. continuing the reign of power with this false religion, she will be in the highest level of glory. But there will be an hour when the beast raises his ugly head and with the 10 kings will destroy her and all that is with her. Again, the woman is the false religion, and the beast, he wants to be God, calls himself God. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, verse 16, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Got several things here and several points that we're going to take our time and go through. First, this harlot, this whore, will be hated. Kings, great men, even the people that loved her and worshipped her, will now turn against her and hate her. Second, the harlot will be desolate. Everything she loves, all wealth, all position, all possessions will be destroyed. Next, the harlot will be made naked. She will be stripped of her purple royal robes. She will now appear before all the people as someone that is homeless, abandoned, and one that is of great shame. Number four, her enemies will eat her flesh. The abundance of her wealth, her riches, her glory, that is what she's all about. All will be devoured by those that loved her. You ever see somebody that is very, very rich and they die and all of a sudden the family members become vultures, loved each other, cared for each other, but now that there's a time and there's money to be had, they go at each other's throats. This won't be any different. She, at times, would be praised by the masses only so that they would hand over their wealth. And so, those that praised her, they loved her only for her money, only what they thought they could get from her. And now that she's desolate, she's nothing. Now they're enemies. Next, the harlot will be burned with fire. So we've had eat the flesh, eat her flesh, and now we're burned with fire. This denotes a social and political ruin. This Babylon here, remember, it reaches back all the way to Nimrod, to the Tower of Babel. This mystical city, as has been called, will be utterly destroyed by fire. So you see, as we look at this verse, this 16th verse, 10 horns that thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. They're going to turn on her. The beast wants all of the praise and honor, and he's not sharing with anybody. You'll find this with people that have such a love for money and no desire for the soul of salvation of a soul or anything. It doesn't matter. What they do, they set out to destroy. And as soon as they have gleaned and taken everything away from the wealth, anything that was an opportunity to you, then they are worthless and of no value whatsoever. And so we see that the beast, when the whore builds up enough of a following, the beast's not going to allow that. So he is going to take this false religion, and all those that followed her, the great whore, is going to come back now to the beast, and they're going to go after the whore. They're going to destroy everything that's important to her, all her wealth, all her belongings, everything, and she'll be just like the poorest individual that could be. Nothing. Hated by all. Verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God is using their natural desires of power and wealth to destroy her. You'll find this again all the time. Oh, your bestest friends, until there comes a time that there's a dividing of the money, or there comes a time that that rich person loses everything. Now there's no friends at all. You just go after what you can get. It is a natural desire. We need to see that when the beast is done, he will raise up and destroy her. You can see that today in politics. You can see that today everywhere. As the government becomes more powerful, more controlling, leaders take that power and that great wealth that they have gained, then they set out to do whatever they please. If you're with them, then they'll carry you along for a while. But whenever they're done with you, and you're going to see that, you're going to find that when some of these politicians and these people, whenever the devil's done with them, and that's who's controlling them, whenever the devil's done with them, he'll spit them out. He's done with them. He'll make them from a person of great power to a person to pity. He can do that in days. We need to praise our God and stand for our God. God may use natural desires, but he puts this in their heart. You see, wickedness now, evil now, is reigning. And God is going to use the evil of these people to finish the work, to destroy the enemy, to fulfill his will. Pharaoh is an example of that. When God sent Moses before Pharaoh, he went repeatedly. And God used Pharaoh, hardened his heart. And you think, well, he couldn't be saved. No, his heart was gone. There was no way of salvation for him, so God just used him after that. God uses many through the Old Testament. It's a joy to study the Word of God. And when you see the different evil men, and yet God allows them, and he allowed Babylon and so many, Assyria, to come up against the nation of Israel and destroy them. Many, multitudes were put to death. Why did God allow that to happen? It's because of the disobedience of the people. Israel turned their back on God. They were worshiping idols, and God gave them chance after chance, and they rejected it. They didn't pay any attention, and so he said, all right, enough is enough. And he gave power to an enemy to come, and he took Israel into captivity for 70 years. For 70 years. And so, you see, God uses those things, and he's going to use these to go against each other to fulfill his will. God is in control, and I want to read a verse of scripture here back in chapter 8. and verse 28. And it tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." There's several things there. So, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Have you set your life to serve the Lord? Have you set your life to praise God? Or have you ignored the free gift of salvation and you've just set out to gain all the wealth that can be gained? And you're going to step on and destroy whoever needs to be stepped on or destroyed to acquire that. We come to verse 18. "The woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth." You know, the word Babylon means confusion. And you may be confused because we talk about Rome, then Babylon. There are two Babylons in the book of Revelation. The ecclesiastical Babylon, the apostate church, headed up under Rome. And then the political Babylon, the beast and his followers. This will be the last form of Gentile world dominion. In Daniel, we read of the beginning of the time of the Gentiles. The beast and the ten kings are destroyed. That will be the end of the Gentile rule. When this happens, when the beast and the ten kings are destroyed, and we'll notice where all the whore's already gone, because they've turned on her. They've taken all of her power, all of her wealth away from her, and she is nothing. In this chapter, the ecclesiastical Babylon, Rome, is referred to as the great whore. At this time, will be the one that is worshipped. Rome, the city built on seven hills, is the home of Babylon and the place in the future that the Babylonian system will be fully developed and then fully destroyed. History has shown that Rome has produced some of the most blasphemous doctrine of all. And you say, how can you say that? Because they have built their own system. They have left the Word of God. They have went to the opinions of the church and traditions of the church instead of standing upon the Word of God. I desire that all of them be saved, be born again. But if you're truly born again, if you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus and Jesus comes into your heart to save you, then you'll recognize the lies and the falseness of these religions. Why are so many people duped and go off into so many of these cults and these religions? It's because they're not born again. They're seeking, they're looking, they're hunting for the truth and not finding it, because they're looking in the wrong place. Man has changed the Word of God. We've got so many versions of this precious book. Go back to the King James. The old King James, stay there. Don't leave it. You say, well, there's some others that's more important. I've had many folks that stand for that and believe that. And what you're doing is you're watering down the Word of God. And you're watering it and diluting it so much that the Spirit of God has no power to work. Very damning, very dangerous thing to do. I ask you that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and Him alone, not works, nothing. Just ask Him to come into your heart and save you. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need Jesus. Ask Him. And when He comes in, then you'll know. Then you'll recognize and then you'll begin to make some decisions. I did. I was so active in church. I was active from my youth. I always was. But as I went from one church to the next and to the next, until one day I was presented with the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, clearly. And said, that's all you need. Just believe that. You don't need to be baptized. You don't have to take the Lord's Supper. You don't need to do any of those things. Just believe. And your sins are taken away. And not only are your sins taken away to date, but all your sins. You're saved. You're born again. And you're kept sealed by the Holy Spirit through eternity. Oh, what a blessed hope. Please look to the Lord Jesus Christ for his power, for his strength. The woman is not Rome alone, but it's a system which has her seat and home in Rome. So please, I don't want you angry. I don't want you mad. I want you to look to the truth, to the Word of God. And I want you to see that maybe what you've been taught all these years isn't what the Word of God tells us. They started with the Word of God. They started with the King James. But then they begin to change it and to move it to their liking. And they've left that sweet gospel. They've left the power and the mercy of God. They say they pray to God, and they work so hard. Sometimes seems like that lost people work harder than saved people. I don't understand that, but it seems that way. It seems like they want Jesus as kind of someone that is there, died on the cross for them. They believe it historically, but they have not, by the Holy Spirit, been convicted of their sin and turned to Jesus and ask him to save them. Because in the day they do, they'll be saved immediately. We've just got a little bit of time. Let's just kind of look for a second here at the 18th chapter. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Babylon is still the subject. In this chapter, the beast is not named. The ten kings is not named. It is the destruction of Babylon. The destruction of this system is the main theme of this chapter. As we look at it and we see, it says another angel, not to be confused with the seven angels, with the seven vials. The angel come out from heaven, has great authority. This angel probably is the one God has committed and given the power for the judgment of Babylon. And he cried mightily, the second verse says, with a strong voice saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The angel announces there the fall of Babylon. He deals with the destruction of Babylon. It is the most ungodly religious system ever to exist upon the face of the earth. Now, we will review again the 18th chapter and begin there next time we get to come together. But my dear friend, I'm just going to ask you, as I always do, what are you going to do about Jesus?